Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could tune in. And before we get started, I just want to remind the listeners that just because you listen to us on the radio show or you happen across us on a website, email, blast, etc., we are not yet, at least, your accountant. So we would not be able to opine on such matters as taxes or investing in real estate private syndications, etc. We might be able to address some very high-level general questions, but if you really would like some specific answers, we need you to go to our BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER, and complete at least the first step of the four steps, four forms you see there. And if you'll submit that first one, that should give us enough to have a discussion. So if you go to the BAPlanner.com site, and at the top right, click the forms link, and then over at the far right, once you've uploaded at least step one, then you can go to the call link and go schedule a call, and we'll be happy to spend half an hour or so with you on the phone to try to help you understand whether or not we think we can sync up with your goals and objectives. So in any event, now that all that said, you really should check with your existing advisors if they have the knowledge base and skill sets to address your real estate private partnership and retirement planning questions, because that's typically what we're doing with our clients. We're working with people that come to us. They recognize they're behind on their retirement wealth. They may have either joined or they're contemplated joining one of the real estate investor slash mentor programs, and they're just trying to understand more about the overall lay of the land and why they might want to join one of those platforms. And of course, we, having been members of several, happy to give you our two cents on what the lay of the land looks like out there, and we can tell you why you might not want or need to join. So in any event, again, BAPlanner.com, and either go to the forms link or go to the call link, depending on what you're wanting us to do. We really prefer that you fill out at least, again, that first client profile form, just so we know what we're dealing with and can be more specific on the call. Let's see here. What else should I say at this point other than let's pivot, and as we normally do, let's go talk about commercial real estate news and how that might be affecting the real estate private partnership arena. Most of our clients are invested in multifamily properties. They're one of maybe a group of 150 to, I don't know, 350 or 450 individuals like themselves that have put their money together and have a lead partner, a sponsor, or a syndicator. It all pretty much refers to the same role that has selected a property. They've done the due diligence on that property, including underwriting it to make sure that it generates enough net operating income to satisfy all the constituencies in that transaction, be it the lender, be it the passive investor. In other words, that's your role. Will you get your money back? More importantly, will you get your money back plus earn a profit? And then, of course, the syndicator, him or herself, is looking to make money. They're not doing the transaction for altruistic measures. They want to know that the underwriting shows there will be something for them. Well, I would say at the end of the day, unfortunately, they're looking at it a little bit differently than I do, and they're looking at it at the beginning of the day, and I don't like it. I call it out when we review transactions for our clients, and you know, we're trying always to show you how to stack the deck to achieve the highest odds of a favorable outcome when you go into these transactions. And again, for those that listen to us, I know you know this, but there's always a first-time listener, and depending on when they join the show each week, they may not realize that we don't sell investments. Further, we don't recommend specific investments. And while we may discuss certain partnership offerings on the air, be mindful of the fact that we are not compensated in any way for talking about certain transactions. Also, be mindful that we may ourselves be investing in a transaction we speak about, which I will disclose that. So if you are working with us, even if you're not, you'll hear me say full disclosure. I've invested in this transaction, and again, that's where I'm putting my investment funds, my investment capital, my pre-tax and my Roth 401 accounts. I still have both. I'm in the progress. It's a multi-year plan, in my case, to convert over to the Roth side of the house in the self-directed 401 trust that I have, which is also what I recommend for any investor that can qualify. It is absolutely the best way to invest in real estate private partnerships if you qualify. And for those that would cast aspersions on that strategy, happy to have you on the air at some point. And if you've got a venue, I'd say we reciprocate, and let's each explain why the self-directed 401 trust, which by the way is the only vehicle of any kind under the Internal Revenue Code that allows you to escape the taxation on the gains that come in on that transaction. Now, I'm referring to at the top level gains from the partnership. You will pay tax at such point as you decide to take those gains out of the trust. That could be years down the road, or you might never take gains out. You know, a lot of people don't need money out of their 401 to live on. They've got other sources. And, you know, I've got more than a couple clients that plan on leaving their 401 assets to their heirs. It'd be a legacy benefit. So, you know, what's interesting is there are no RMDs as long as you have not retired. And with side gig type income, which is absolutely a qualifying factor, you don't have to have the next Amazon. In fact, the next Amazon won't qualify to have a self-directed 401 trust because you are not able to have more than one, or if your spouse works in the business, you two full-time employees. They would have to be part-time. So this is a small business owner small entrepreneur type plan, and you may be surprised to learn that you can put away as much as $76,500 here in 2024. And obviously there's income limits, but it's not the type of income limits you're thinking. It's not to prohibit you from undertaking a Roth. There is no maximum income limit that qualifies someone to contribute to a Roth that's in a 401k, self-directed 401k. And so, you know, you can literally put, again, the entirety of this year's limit, $76,500, can effectively end up in the Roth side of a 401 trust, or as the IRA custodial crowd calls it, a solo K. It's a marketing term that doesn't appear anywhere in the Internal Revenue Code, but we typically don't refer to it as a solo K because of that fact. But when you're hearing other people talk about it, that's usually how they'll describe it. So if you're interested in learning more about how you too might qualify, and by the way, even though your money may be in an employer 401 at the moment, a big company, and maybe you're 48 years old or 52 years old, you haven't gotten old yet, quote unquote, that would be 59 and a half in the IRS's arena. If you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, the odds are that we can help you access those funds. I'd want to know more about the plan. I'd like to get a copy of your current summary plan description of either you or your spouse, depending on who's got the account, and let us take a look at that at no charge for that process, and I'll be happy to tell you whether or not you can utilize a legal maneuver to free those funds up. Doesn't require employer approval. Doesn't require much of anyone's approval except a state district judge. And we've never been denied. So if you're interested in having us consider that on your behalf, feel free again to go to baplanner.com. And click the forms link at the top right, fill out that first form. Actually, fill out the first and the second form, because the second form is the retirement plan profile, and we need both of those if we're going to understand what we're dealing with. Let's do this. It's time for a break. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We haven't even talked about the first item of news yet, but we'll do that when we get back with more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words. Better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word added to the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. 501-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com. nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me away. I want to be big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're glad you could join us this Sunday show. And if you would like to connect with me while we're on the air, I don't take phone calls, but I do take text messages, and I believe we just played a commercial that indicated that number. In case you didn't hear it, that number is 713-581-0195. And if the question is relevant to today's content, I may go ahead and work it in to the discussion on the air. If it's not, I'll definitely follow up with you over the next few days. And if you don't want to text or you can't text, feel free to email me at Nathan. You can pick either one of those, info or Nathan, at npross.com. Either one of those should find their way to me. And let's go back to the concept of talking about news. And I didn't have all of these articles up on when we did the Friday show a couple days ago. We've added three or four more. In any event, if you have never visited our resource page, let me suggest to you that it is especially helpful as we talk about these articles, if perhaps you can pull them up, be it on your phone or perhaps a desktop. But, you know, we look for articles each week that are relevant to the commercial real estate world, and it's a multifaceted area. I mean, we talk about things as diverse as interest rates and maybe which market, which large metro is the biggest current requester of permits, you know, in their market. So, you know, it's interesting what drives demand, what drives or, you know, lack of demand, as the case may be. We talk about retirement income, and some of these articles we talked about on Friday, as I mentioned, and we may revisit. We'll see how much time we have left. But in any event, the first article on the list, and by the way, this is on our companion site to the BeAPlanner.com site. It's aptly named Be A Planner Show, or it's aptly found at BeAPlannerShow.com. And if you'll go to the resources page, and then from there you can go to the news link, and there you'll see, after you get past the four top articles, those are pinned, so they stay there, or top, the four resources at the top. They're not necessarily articles per se. I've got the 2024 tax brackets. We've also got a Fed study that we will circle back to. I keep putting it off because I'm trying to figure out the best way to discuss it. It's a really lengthy, or rather lengthy off article, but it's especially relevant right now. This was a study, or it was a study that the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco did back in, I don't know, it's been a number of years since they released it, but it compared the rates of return on stocks, bonds, and housing. And, you know, obviously housing must have held its own, or I wouldn't be looking to discuss it more in the future, and it did better than held its own. You may want to start looking at that article. It's not for the faint of heart, but hey, I'll help you understand the relevant parts. And I guess the reason that I say it's especially relevant now is with all the negative things that have happened, the real estate failures. Of course, the biggest real estate failures are not in multifamily housing. They're in office. And when you look at the real problem areas out there, it's primarily the office market. Some hotels are in trouble as well. But the multifamily market continues to perform strong, as does industrial. So in any event, this is an article or a resource that's actually referred to as a working paper of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, and we will start dabbling in that article for, you know, a portion of each show. In any event, the first article, once you get to the black boldface text, is when CRE, commercial real estate capital markets, will turn the corner. And I guess it's anybody's guess, but you know, there's quite a bit of capital that's sitting on the sidelines, and the comment that I wanted to point out is Cushman and Wakefield took a stab at estimating how much capital is ready to move in. And you may know, and if you don't, I'll tell you, Cushman and Wakefield is one of the larger commercial real estate firms. I'm guessing they're in the top four or five. In any event, they say that there is generally $419 billion globally available at the moment to be invested in real estate. They compare that, excuse me, they compare that to the amount that was available in the wake of the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, and 2010, and let's see, they're looking at the amount that was raised in the wake of the Great Recession. That was $250 billion. So it's a pretty healthy increase over the money that was available then. And I tell you what, there were a lot of multifamily folks, passive and the lead partners, that got considerably wealthier in the period that followed 2008, 9, and 10, when everything had significant issues. Now, I wouldn't say that the issues then are quite as profound as they may be now, because as we discussed on Friday and we've discussed previously, it's a multifaceted set of problems now. You've got not only interest rates that went up, I believe the Fed did 10 separate rate increases on the Fed funds rate, which effectively drove mortgage rates to go up. It's only recently that mortgage rates are starting to decline, and that's in large measure, I believe, tied to the gap that's reducing between long-term treasuries, the 30-year treasuries that's coming down, and that's driving mortgage interest rates down. So in any event, you know, it'll be interesting to see how fast they come down. I have a feeling it won't be quite as fast as they went up. I mean, we're talking about maybe getting a rate cut later in 2024, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, that those actually materialize, because I have a feeling certain sectors of the economy may recover, but in any event, I don't know that that's going to be across the board. By the way, the phenomenon that I mentioned about mortgage rates, I want to correct something I said. I was trying to read another article while I was talking. I should have paid attention, should have focused. The differential, I got the two components backwards. The 30-year mortgage rates versus the benchmark treasury yields, which could be dependent on what industry you're in. It could be a different, you know, it could be the 10-year treasury, it could be longer term. But bottom line is, that's the differential that I was referring to. So you can read that article, or at least you can if you have a Wall Street Journal subscription or you've got your free articles still left. I've forgotten how much the Wall Street gives you each. I think it's one or two each month. But you can read that article by going, again, to the BeAPlannerShow.com resource page, and you'll see that it's called The Hidden Force Pushing Mortgage Rates Down, and that was from January 4th, 2024. So it's one of our, I don't know, seven or eight first articles there in the black type. But in any event, you know, I think lending standards are going to remain historically tight, and, you know, in a contractionary territory. There are a few signs of an early inflection in multifamily and construction. However, office will continue to drag down commercial real estate loans because, you know, the valuations on office are really low, and it's going to take just a stellar office project to get the type of loan that they might have gotten 3 or 4 years ago routinely. But in any event, there's no question the multifamily is a brighter spot. And in fact, one of the other articles I have, let's see here, did I, well, I take it back. I did not include, there was another article, because I was really thinking it's contradictory to what several other articles are pretending of the housing starts and permitting. I had an article we looked at on Friday that talked about Phoenix being the biggest mover on the list of requests for new permits. However, I didn't quite get to look at some of the other articles I had pulled, and I saw there was another article where the multifamily family sector is also reporting delays in starts. You know, those reports have risen sharply, and that came the same day or day after the article about Phoenix leading the way with more permit requests. So permit request does not mean, you know, breaking ground and getting started. And so, you know, when you've got 83% of the respondents in a recent survey, that's 4% higher than in the third quarter study that the same group did. That's a significant increase that shows developers continue to worry about the availability of construction financing. And it's not just the financing, it's also absorption. You know, so they get their units to market. Don't think the folks that already own units in a given market are sitting still. They better not be, because as we've discussed, we're a tenant nation now in large measure, where a lot of people have decided they would prefer to rent instead of own as a lifestyle choice, because buying a home, let's face it, it's been a lifestyle choice for quite a while now. It's not an investment choice. And if you want to think that, I would suggest you go out. I'll tell you one place you can see it. Go to any of the MLS systems out there. I was looking in both Houston and San Antonio recently on their MLS systems, and I looked at condos, because the condo, unlike a home, they typically always have units available for sale. So one of the stats that they provide in the MLS listing, or at least in the listings, it may not be MLS, but it's definitely on the different platforms that pull their data from MLS and then they supplement it. But I noticed on any given condo, it would be selling for X, and then there was also information about what it originally sold for when the developer finished the units way back when. And if you don't think it's a lifestyle, now I'm using condo as an example only because the data is easily out there and you can go confirm what I'm saying, but in many cases these were 15 to 25 year old condo projects, and they were currently selling maybe at or even below what they sold for 20, 25 years ago. That's kind of a telling comp. You talk about a comp. It's like, so you're going to go invest your money in a unit that may be something you sell for less than what you pay. And I understand, again, there's such a thing as a forced savings account, and that's how a lot of people would look at that. Whether it's a condo or a home matters not. I'm assuming you might be able to get similar information from assorted sites on a specific address. Like maybe Zillow provides that. I forgot. It seems like there's something out there that would have it. But I'll tell you what, it'll make you think twice about whether you should buy or rent. And especially, again, the reason that we've got so many folks that are renting now is because they've come to realize that, you know, you look at these Class A apartments that are coming into the market, the amenity packages that they're providing are such that you'd have to spend a lot of money on a home to get that level of lifestyle. Now, obviously, you're going to get a bigger property, and in some cases, that just means you get a bigger light bill to pay, right? But, you know, if you got four kids, you're probably not going to be happy in a renting a high-end apartment or a Class A apartment. But bottom line is, if it fits, again, lifestyle choice, if it fits the lifestyle choice, typically you're going to rent for less than you buy, and you eliminate the risk that if you need to up and move for a given reason, or maybe you retire and you decide you want to travel, well, all of a sudden you're not locked in to having to sell a property, and you know, you may pick a bad time to sell it. It may never be a bad time to not renew your lease. I would say it's highly unlikely that that is an issue, but in any event, certainly something to consider. Let's see, article about where the most new new arrivals are coming, which states. Of course, Texas and Florida are the two big ones, and if you look at, I guess it's U-Haul migration trends, which that's not exactly a correlation to population or economic growth. It is a somewhat effective way to evaluate which states and cities are attracting and maintaining residents. And, of course, if you're in the apartment business, that's you know, kind of a critical component to where you might decide to purchase a property. If you want plenty of new job growth, et cetera, to provide you with potential customers, right? Let's see here. Besides Texas and Florida, who else makes the list? Well, I don't see other states mentioned. There is, well, generally the Southeast and the Southwest. I guess that's Texas and Florida. And then you compare that to states that continue to see an outflow, Northeast, Midwest, and West Coast continue to see an outflow. So the top 10, here we go, the top 10 receiving states were North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Idaho, Washington State, Arizona, Colorado, and Virginia were the rest of the top 10. So Texas, Florida, and then the ones I just mentioned. And the states that saw the fewest move-ins, no surprise as to what's leading that list. It would be California, Michigan, New Jersey, Illinois, and Massachusetts, and then New York came in 43rd. So, gee, that's a interesting change of events from yesteryear, isn't it? At least New York is. Let's see here. We have one more article. I guess I've hit most of them. You know, it's interesting. Speaking of California, I saw a video clip. I guess it was on the YouTube Shorts part of YouTube, where Grant Cardone, who's a syndicator of some distinction, he's a marketing guru, both in the auto CRM arena, contact relationship or customer relationship management arena. That's how he made his millions before he became a syndicator. But anyway, I've knocked Grant Cardone at times for assorted reasons, and one of the reasons is the superficiality that I guess he represents. And he made a comment about Gavin Newsom, and I don't know if we've got Gavin Newsom fans in the listenership. I'm going to apologize in advance, but Cardone, of course, in true fashion, he was trying to butter his own bread while at the same time saying how impressed he was with Newsom. He said, "I used to think the guy was a loaf, so to speak." I don't think he used that word, but he said he happened to come up to me at a recent event, and or I went up to him, and Newsom said, "Oh yeah, man, I listen to you all the time." And of course, you know, Cardone's telling the story to, first of all, butter his toast. And then secondly, Cardone said, and I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the guy. I mean, he was very personable, et cetera. And for those of you folks that, he said, I'm just going to say it, I could vote for him. Well, I don't need to meet him to tell you that yours truly could never vote for him. And to act like the fact that he might be the most incredible, dynamic personality in the world, but when you look at what he's how he's led the state of California, and how he's badmouthed the state of Texas, by the way, he clearly would not be someone that you would want running this great, still great country of ours. But in any event, it's classic more Grant Cardone, very superficial. And I would look at any transaction that you think you might want to do with him with jaundiced eyes. And if you tell you what, if you're thinking you're going to do one, send me the PPM and send me the operating agreement. I'll review that for free just to see how similar his transactions are now to what I've seen in the past. And they're typically overcapitalized. That allows him to start paying distributions from day one. And of course, many of his transactions, I don't know if it's all or most, I just know many, he's sharing in those early distributions as well. So it's not like he does it necessarily to help the passive. And if he's just giving you your money back, well, I've got an idea. And I'd say this about anybody that does this, because he's not alone in this regard. If the syndicator is overcapitalizing to be able to start distributions the first quarter or second quarter, regardless of how the property has been stabilized, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd be better off if he would simply raise what he needs, tell you, hey, we're going to need more money in 6 months or a year, here's about the amount. And, you know, you could use the money in the interim. Who knows? You might be able to do a flip or do something else to generate some income. And so I would just tell you that overcapitalization is not something you want to get involved with. Let's do this. Let's take one more break here, and we'll be back just momentarily with the last part of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth.
However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final few minutes of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We've got just over 5 minutes remaining, and I wanted to kind of wrap up this week's show with a little bit more of a explanation of what we do, and you know, if folks are interested, feel free to connect. Again, you can go to the BEAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And once you're there, you can click the link second from the right at the top, forms, and that'll take you to a page where if you'll fill out at least the first step, first form, the client profile, that should give us enough to chat, so you can click the link furthest to the right at that point, the call link, and that'll bring you to a page that'll let you schedule an introductory call. And if you are wanting help with retirement funds, excuse me, fill out the second form as well, the second step. It's a retirement profile, so I can understand more about the specific type of funds you have available and what your objectives are. But in any event, you know, for those that may not still understand what we're talking about when we talk about syndications, syndications are simply real estate private partnerships that you may choose to participate in along with other people. And in fact, you might think of it like the stock market's mutual funds, but instead it's of the real estate world versus the stock market. Multiple investors passively investing into a partnership, while a manager, which may be referred to as a syndicator, a sponsor, a lead partner, while that party is responsible for doing the heavy lifting, picking the real estate, performing due diligence, hiring staff to manage various facets of the property, be it leasing, be it maintenance, etc. So you're taken out of the loop altogether of acquiring that property. You don't go on the debt. So in other words, you're not liable if something should go wrong and that partnership ends up, as has happened lately, with a property going back to a lender, or you've got to scramble to go raise more capital so you can get a refinance done because maybe the loan to value ratio that the lender is going to allow, like right now, has dropped from 80% in the good old days, even 2 years ago, down to 50 to 55%. Well, what happens when you've got a loan at 80 and you've got a chance to refinance it, but the interest rate's going to be higher, the mortgage reserves will therefore be higher, and the lender is only going to give you 50 to 55%. So you may not have enough to pay off the existing loan that was provided to you at an 80% loan to value. So you got to come up with the difference. And so in any event, you know, you may choose to participate in that capital raise or cash call, as the case may be. That's another topic, another conversation, another show. However, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not your responsibility. You could choose to not participate in the cash call and allow your interest to be diluted by others that do participate. So, you know, you've got choices, but the point is you're not directly responsible for undertaking those facets of the acquisition or the operations. That sits on the syndicator's shoulders, and they will manage the portfolio. But in any event, we will show you how to evaluate sponsors, opportunities, and private offerings so that you can pick the right syndicators, achieve the highest odds of a favorable outcome. Why? Because we're going to help you understand what you're signing up for. At base, that's what we do. And if you understand real estate private partnership syndications, you've never had a surprise, you don't realize how critical some of the language and provisions in a partnership operating agreement are, or understand disclosures that are in the private placement memorandum, well, then you don't need us. And you're in rare air if you can do that as a layperson. There's not many folks that I've run across that do. So if you feel like that what we do sounds like it would be your secret weapon, perhaps, as you launch into a passive real estate investing career, great. Give us a call, or better yet, go to the website, baplanner.com, and fill out the forms out there on the forms page. I believe we're at the end of the show. I think the music should start just any moment now. So I want to thank you for tuning in again. We'll be back on this next Friday, this coming Friday, 11 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.